top, he'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe.
And welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing what we can, guest or no guest. We will persevere. Why would you even say that?
We didn't tell anybody we're going to have a guest in the first place.
Who said we were having a guest today? I was just saying it doesn't matter if we have one, Chan. Why are you breaking it weird?
Why are you...
difficult?
You...
This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I am special guest star Robert Clark Chan.
Special guest star Resolute Butts, a.k.a. Gina Bolita.
No. You don't get special guest star. You're and Gina Ippolito as Gina
Ippolito.
We
can't double book.
Look, my reps negotiated this. Don't fucking just walk in like you were the... big star here. Shit.
There we go. Updated. Chan is now Lord of the Dance. Gina is back to being TV's Gina Ippolito. I am having fun with visuals. When this video drops, y'all gonna love it.
Ray is nothing.
I am
Chan's,
nothing.
Chan's shirt is too light. Also, where are we releasing these? Is this an OnlyFans thing?
This is an OnlyFans thing. We'll probably put them up on Patreon and then chase them later on the old YouTubes.
For reals?
New for season 9 videos of every episode that we care to release or record.
Even saying like maybe we'll do something seems like promising a lot.
I mean, how many times do we follow through?
We want to under promise and over deliver, but consistently for the past 10 years, we have over promised and under delivered.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we've done a good job under promising and then somehow still under delivering.
That's true.
Fair. Anyway, this is G.I. Joe Resolute Part 2, the middle section. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I thought I enjoyed this. Chance here to talk me out of it, but I thought I enjoyed this very much.
The middle section, would you call this the meat?
I would call this the peanut butter in the sandwich. That's what I would call it. Huh. Chan, what would you call it? Would you call it teeth brushing, tooth brusho, kid
look,
time?
It's special guest star Egon Clark Chan.
Chan, you don't want your kid's face on our Patreon. You don't know what kind of weirdos there are.
I mean, I was hesitant to let you ever see his face. So once that bridge has been crossed,
Chan, he's 7-year-old. He can make his own decisions about social media. Thank you very much.
What's happening here? It's after 8 p.m. I thought 8 p.m. was bedtime.
Yeah, boy, so did I. And yet here we are.
I personally feel violated. But Chan, why did you hate the middle part? Because, I'll say right now, I thought it was very fun. I thought part one was depressing. I thought there was way too much just straight up murdering beloved characters. I think bombing an entire...
They murder a beloved character in this section, too.
But I was okay with it because it felt earned this time. It didn't feel earned when 2 people got killed off camera and 10 million people in Moscow also got evaporated.
You don't
off
care
camera.
About those Moscow people.
Yeah, get off our elections, jerks.
I mean, here's the thing. Did I hate it as much as the first section? I did not. Did much happen this section? Also, no. So are the two related, correlative, or causative? I'll let you decide. But there was less to hate here.
Well, that's very fair. I personally did not hate any of it. I thought it was delightful. You gotta. Well, let's see. I'm going to tell you right now. You got a ninja battle. Mm-hmm. You got taking down a Cobra base with Duke and Scarlet. Mm-hmm. You got Zartan.
Yeah, what's not to like? Those are all ingredients in a delicious soup.
Yes, those are all ingredients, but there is no soup. They're just sitting there in a cold pot.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Chan, what's your discipline situation like? I've literally never seen you discipline your kid. Do you just have a no discipline motto?
I mean, the beatings begin when the camera goes off, so...
Anyway, so
go down in the city.
Chan, what was? No, I'm sorry, Gina. I'm sorry for stepping on your song. That's what the people demand. That's what.
No,
the
it's too
want.
Late. It's too late.
I've ruined the moment. So Chan, what did you hate about this? Because somehow people ask for that too, and I don't. They don't want me to sing though. Chan, what did you hate about this episode? What was there to hate about this episode? It was just pure delicious meat.
You said it was peanut butter.
Well, peanut butter can be meat for some people.
All right. So in this peanut butter and meat soup that we're apparently concocting, I mean, I suppose we should take it as it comes. But I will say the point that stood out to me was when Duke and Scarlet break into the decommissioned missile base. Door opens, whole troop full of alley vipers in the middle of a damn hallway.
Yes, they are
wide out in the open. Alley vipers just go bra-da-da-da-da. All of the alley vipers go bra-da-da-da-da right at these two people in the open, who immediately do not jump for cover. They just stand there shooting back. They slowly step back over a period of about 10 or 15 seconds and eventually just kind of, cruise their way over to some cover. I thought we were being realistic.
That was a real Jack Bauer moment, and that's one of the most realistic shows on television.
Wait, do you want realism or do you not, Chan? You're sending mixed messages to this movie.
What do they want is the question, because they're giving me both and it's kind of terrible.
When I think of giving me both, I think they're giving me both Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. So yeah. I'm happy. You even got tunnel rat in this part of the episode. What do you want?
I got no problem with Tunnel Rat. Tunnel Rat is perfectly fine. I like that whole section. I think it was pretty fun. Like, it's going up in a blimp. How many goddamn times do we have to watch Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes fight? Pretty good.
This fight was great. Yeah. I was gonna say this is an earned fight.
I don't know how I feel about them just going to the trope
that he knows a killing blow.
Is it an homage, or do they think that it's they're being like super cool doing the thing?
Well, let's get into it, because when last we left,
you're
Vester
the one that didn't want to get into it. Like, tell me what all your problems are before we follow the format of the show.
I wanted to understand what points we need to stay on for that sort of thing.
I will let you know, because I will stay on them and we won't move on until I've said my piece.
Yes. So we open up, I mean, as anyone would want to, last we left, Snake Eyes, or I should say Destro and the Baroness, were about to get into it with all these scientists there.
They were about to have hardcore, unsimulated sex on camera in front of a bunch of captive scientists, because that's their king.
Did you say unstimulated sex?
Simulated.
Gina only knows one speed.
So real. You could just say real sex.
No, when you're talking about sex in movies, you say unsimulated. Get some class, fucker.
I thought you said unstimulated.
I was just like, wow. Did you not hear what I just... Wait a minute. So you're suggesting that there are movies in which unsimulated sexual congress takes place, and that you are very familiar with these sets.
Oh, absolutely.
And you live in the San Fernando Valley.
There are real movies where they do that too. I think like Something About Blue. There's a movie with the blue in the title and people are having real sex in that.
Something About Blue.
Come on. Everybody knows about Brown Bunny.
Yeah, Brown Bunny, that's what it was.
Everybody knows about the Brown Bunny scene.
Were you thinking Brown Bunny, and what came out of your mouth was Something About Blue?
Yeah, I was getting Brown Bunny confused with Blue as the Warmest Color, which I think also has some sexy scenes in it.
There's just Something About Blue, 30 minutes of hardcore sex.
This feels like you're actually watching some sort of pornographic film that combine the two, like Something About Blue Bunny, and you're trying to pass it off as, oh yeah, I watch art films. Definitely the one where they had all the sex and the pizza guy comes in and then they have sex. And
well, Chan, she couldn't pay for the pizza. Where else was this scene supposed to go?
But there's a brown bunny in it.
There is a brown bunny.
And the blue is the warmest color.
I haven't seen Brown Bunny, so I don't know if there actually is a brown bunny in it.
I don't think there is.
Or if indeed there's warm blue in that movie, Blue is the Warmest Color.
Actually, weirdly enough, it's like Greenland and Iceland. In Brown Bunny, there's a very warm blue color, and in Blue is the Warmest Color, they have a brown.
Weird. Weird, but just weird enough that I'll buy it.
I felt blue for the career of Chloe Sevigny after seeing Brown Bunny.
That was her like real life boyfriend though at the time. So she was like, yeah. And then, but at the time, all the ads were like, watch real unsimulated sex.
Feel like look, I missed those ads.
Well,
I couldn't believe when Netflix sent me that disc. I was just like, who asked for this?
Probably you. I mean, I feel like...
I mean, it ended up on my queue somehow. I don't know. It's crazy.
It's like, fans of real unsimulated sex will like...
I actually... Now, this is a thing where I was just doing Netflix, and I was looking for art films, and I inadvertently rolled up three art films in a row where there was actual, like, people banging in the... three in a row, not trying to do it. I just happened to get three in a row. I swear to God, Chan, you're giving me a look. Three in a row where it was, you know, Bob's your uncle. I don't know. That was crazy. I mean, probably one of those movies. And I can't remember the names of all of them, but I just remember, like, by the time the third one hit, I was just like, is this just life now? Every single underground movie that people tell me I should go check out just has people banging each other in it? Like, what is happening?
And you don't like that because you're a Puritan. Are we talking about G.I. Joe still?
I live off the land.
Are we talking about G.I. Joe still?
Somehow. Probably.
Look, I love this whole Snake Eyes Storm Shadow thing because, look, the story with Hardmaster.
Wait, let's go in order. So we can actually end this today.
Well, that's where we start, is Snake Eyes is at the Arashikage clan village or whatever. That's been overgrown. They're not there anymore. He's there because he believes that that's where Storm Shadow is going to be, and he is correct. The whole deal with Hardmaster and Zartan assassinating him is derived straight out of the G.I. Joe comic books, although the story is a bit different than how they portrayed it here.
Yeah, weirdly, it's more violent and dumber. What are the odds?
Honestly, you're right on both accounts. If Zartan was there to kill Hardmaster at the behest of Storm Shadow, which is what happens here, that's not the way it goes down in the comics. Why did he shoot Snake Eyes first?
Well, no, Snake Eyes saw and like tried to jump in front of the bullet happened.
No. Because Snake Eyes was a good 10 feet behind Hardmaster.
Yeah, you're
Zartan
right.
Zartan was to the side of both of them. He made a choice to shoot Snake Eyes first.
Maybe he told him, maybe the assassin who he hired, maybe he said like, hey, you've got to take out this dude first because he's going to try and protect him. But you're right. It is weird. But
it is weird. And Zartan is the assassin. I mean, I think that was shown. Yeah, he was in the comics, and I'm pretty sure he was here as well.
But it's weird that Storm Shadow just says, yeah, I hired like a Cobra assassin instead of being like, I hired Zartan. They all know Zartan. That would be like if I was talking to you, Ray, and I was like, my other podcasting partner, instead of just saying Chan, like they both know Zartan.
To be fair, when referring to this podcast, you do refer to Chan and my other podcast partner. So I don't know.
That's because I forget your name.
Getting weird. Well, who could blame you? Who could remember this nonsense?
Actually, I am looking at it. I'm going frame by frame because I'm all Zapruder-y like that. And
oh, that just looks like an assassin. Are we assuming? Maybe we'll find out in the second half, but that could be anyone.
I mean, Zartan's got the hood and he has similar clothing and color scheme.
Yeah, but he clearly says later, I hired a Cobra assassin.
Well, sure, he may Zartan not have known Zartan at the time because this was however many years ago.
Yeah, he might have just asked Cobra to do it and they sent Zartan.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'm biased because I know it's Zartan in the comics. And so when I see this guy who looks kind of Zartan adjacent, I'm going to make that leap.
Snake Eyes is running up to him, and because of the angle that the assassin is at, yes, he shoots Snake Eyes, who is running to protect him, and it hits him in the side, hits him from the right, not from the back. A Hardmaster then turns around, and he gets hit from that same direction. So
because we see it through the sniper scope.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we know the angle that he's coming from. There's no guesswork involved.
It seemed, yeah, it seemed like, why would you do that? If your job is to take out one person.
Why would you shoot Snake Eyes first? That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I was trying to do some work for Warren Ellis here, but I don't know. Seems like a big-ass plot hole to me.
I mean, maybe Warren Ellis wrote it one way and then they shot it a different way with storyboards or whatever.
That's common in cartoons.
Is that common?
All right, let's get another take. Zartan, can you step out? We'll just get a nameless extra in there.
Let's put the camera over there and try it again.
All right, we're cartoons.
No, well, and also there's a whole backstory here with Hardmaster, and they kind of take a lot of liberties. It's similar but different than the comics, which is fine. Where Storm Shadow, there's seven techniques of this, of Arashikage clan, which I was not familiar with this bit. And Hardmaster has taught him the first six. I don't understand this, because the seventh step, as they call it, and he says seventh step roughly, conservatively, 10 billion times in this episode.
Yes.
The seventh step is the death strike, is death.
Yes. But
I saw him, like, punch a log in half. Surely that could kill someone, too.
Well, also, when we finally do get to see the seventh step, it's like 12 hits. So, like,
no, but this is,
yeah, you're probably going to kill him if you hit him like fucking seven times in all these vital parts of your body.
Okay, but you thought it was cool in Kill Bill when she does that?
Wow.
Because that was also like seven hits.
Five. It is five. And she goes boop, 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 boop all around the heart. Not like, I'm going to kick you in the knee. I'm going to punch you in the throat. I'm going to fucking stab you in the liver.
No, those are all.
I'm going to pull out a fucking pistol and shoot you in the head.
He's stopping
the. You died.
He's stopping the blood at all the spots. He's stopping the blood, man.
Yeah, he does kind of paralyze him.
At his
knee. After slitting both of his forearms. But we'll get into there in a sec, because that's the whole deal.
Just slitting someone's forearms with a fucking katana couldn't contribute to someone's death in any way.
I didn't understand this because we don't see any blood, right?
No blood. Like, G.I. Joe Resolute has had a problem showing us blood up to this point.
But there must be but that's why I was thinking. So this is what I was thinking. So, like, you know, we show Snake Eyes kills Storm Shadow and then like buries him and like has the swords on top and stuff. But I think that Storm Shadow was already an undead zombie. I think that that's what it's setting up. I think that that's why he didn't bleed when he cut his wrists.
I spent the whole time being like, that's like a way people oof themselves. Like, what are we talking about? He sliced him with ninja katanas straight up and down both forearms on the bottom side. Storm Shadow, I'm like, I kept waiting for blood on this very bloody television program, and I never got it.
But that's why I think he's a zombie.
Then why does the death strike work out?
Well, like, I think, like, you know, he still had some zombie, but that's why I think he's going to come back to life. And then he's going to be like, you can't kill what's already dead, bitch.
I would love that. First off, that would be a great take, and a unique take on their rivalry. The thing is, though, Storm Shadow's very upset with Hardmaster because he says, you won't teach me the seventh step. Which is the death strike. And I'm thinking to myself, but you can still kill people.
Yeah.
Nothing stops you from killing people. Why does it have to be this?
Yeah, but this is the most badass way that they cannot survive unless they are a zombie. I mean, she could have killed him a different way in Kill Bill also.
Fair. I also, go ahead, Chan. Sorry. I got tons more.
I feel like it's really a branding thing. He wants him to teach him the seventh step, mostly so that he can then take the Arashikage name, franchise it out, have like a chain of kids karate schools around Japan and America.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that unless you have like learn the seven steps of the Arashikage clan. If you're like, learn the seven, six steps of the Rashikage clan.
It's not the same.
I mean, then Snake Eyes walking in and being like, I know all seven, biatch.
Well, and Storm Shadow was shown while being a jealous bee this entire time, because Hardmaster clearly shows favoritism to Snake Eyes. He says Snake Eyes gets all this extra training, and I don't get that. I'm the best student here. Like, I'm your boy.
Yeah.
Why is Snake Eyes getting all that extra training? And he's like, well, he started from behind and we're coaching him up. And I'm like, that's fine. That makes sense. But then Storm Shadow's mad. He's like, you're going to teach Snake Eyes the seven steps and not me. I just know it. That's my villain origin story.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When is G.I. Joe Renegades?
G.I. Joe Renegades is the TV series that will come a little bit after this, like the following year.
Okay, so when is the live action movie?
Right after this.
Okay, because I think I remember in the live action movie that there was like that jealousy. And in that one, the master was like, hey, I favor him because I think you're kind of a bad kid. If I remember correctly, he's like, hey, you're kind of like a little hellion. I think you've got evil in your heart. And in that one, it didn't work out too well for him. So here at first I was like, oh, he should just tell him the truth. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm never going to teach you my move. Already taught him. So fuck off, kid. But instead he like lies to him and he's like, nah, buddy, I'll teach you someday. Yeah. But like, no matter what this old guy does, he winds up dead. So there's no pacifying this evil little shit is what I'm saying.
He can't go back in time and save his life because it will happen anyway.
Exactly. So I kind of respect the fact that he's like trying to put him off as long as possible. Like he's like, next Tuesday, I'm gonna teach you how to kill a man.
Someday you'll kill a man, Timmy. Well, I mean, the jealousy's always been a part of it, and Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes being friends has also always been a part of it, and Snake Eyes being brought in later. If I remember right in the comic books, like, Snake Eyes is brought in, like, after the war. Like, he's not a kid when he's brought in. He's, like, an adult. And if I remember this correctly, Storm Shadow's, like, getting pissed at Snake Eyes getting favorable treatment, so he hires Zartan to shoot Hardmaster when only him and Snake Eyes are together. And then takes the blame.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes F's out of there and Storm Shadow's just like, see, I told you he was bad.
But wasn't there also like a version where like Cobra Commander killed the master and then was like, oh, I didn't do it. It was Snake Eyes. Hate him.
Maybe in the movie. Maybe that was the movie. I think you might be right, actually.
Right, yeah, like he like comes in and he's like, I'm Snake Eyes, killed my master. And then Cobra Commander's like, it was me, but I'm going to pretend it wasn't. And then that's why he goes to Cobra, because he's like, oh shit, like, you guys can help me get this bad guy who's pretending he's a good guy. And then I think at some point, like, Snake Eyes is like, it wasn't me. And then they're like, you're not allowed to talk. And he's like, I'm going to write it down on a chalkboard. It wasn't me.
I got part of that detail wrong. Storm Shadow did not hire Cobra. I got confused with this. Cobra Commander wanted Storm Shadow for Cobra. And he said, we need to break his villain origin story.
Yeah.
So he hired Zartan to kill Hardmaster so Snake Eyes would get blamed. Snake Eyes would go back to G.I. Joe, which everybody knew he would. And then Storm Shadow's like, well, who opposes G.I. Joe? Cobra? I'm going over there. That was the story.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. That's why Storm Shadow joins G.I. Joe later in the comics, because he finds out the truth.
Right. Yeah.
I love G.I. Joe comics.
Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense than just... Also, what if he had, like he clearly hired this assassin before he had this talk with this old guy. What if he had like hired this assassin and then went to the old guy and was like, hey, you're never going to teach me. And if he was like, sure, yeah, like, let's go right now. Let's go into the bathroom.
Bang!
I'll teach you the seven moves. And then like he kills. He's like, no. Why?
I'm sorry. Did you say that he was going to take his nephew into the house to teach him the seven moves?
I said into the bathhouse. We're not
passing down karate tricks at this point.
If you
that
guys,
kid's getting molested.
If you guys go big enough on the Patreon, Gina will go to a bathhouse and describe the seven moves. That's our Knowing Is Half the Podcast under guarantee.
Completely unsimulated.
Completely unsimulated. That's right. So we actually like jumped ahead a little bit to do the entirety of the Snake Eyes Storm Shadow bit, but that's fine. We come back, they fight, Snake Eyes kills him with the seventh strike, and Storm Shadow's like, I told you, I knew it, which I just
Storm Shadow
was, great.
Was not wrong at any point in this.
Completely correct. And not only that, we also know that, yeah, to what Gina, what you said, we know Hardmaster, who's supposed to be this like monk of truth, lied his ass off to him the whole time and snuck around behind his back to teach Snake Eyes this shit.
He was right to, clearly. Like, well, as
Storm Shadow didn't even know he'd even learned the sixth step, right? Yeah, he thought he knew five.
That is really funny when he's like, haha, you only got through five. And then he's like, no, what? Like, why did he think he only had five?
I guess that's all they were official about.
Because he's a catty bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hardmaster, kind of a little bee.
No, I think he was right to do this. I think, listen, if I could only teach the seven death moves to Egon or Luna, I'm putting one of them off as long as possible so that they don't kill me. I don't know. I don't know which one of them is going to kill me. I'll teach the other one my seven death moves.
Gina, you know the answer to all those questions. You just don't want to say it.
Well, who's less likely to kill me is my question.
I didn't even realize this came out after Kill Bill. So it's not even like Ellis is like going to the OG, like going to, you know, the Shaw Brothers films of like the 70s or whatever for this trope. He's just like, oh, what's that Tarantino thing just happened? You know what? Do that.
No.
Instead of five, like seven.
No.
I didn't rip nothing off. I did seven moves.
In his defense, what year did this come out and what year did Kill Bill come out?
This came out in what, like 2010?
2009.
Kill Bill's 2003.
2009.
No, Kill Bill was 2003. Kill Bill
was at least 6 years before. It was well into the lexicon by the time.
Okay, I see. Yeah. He did
But this was written in 2001.
He did just pull a Kill Bill then.
I have no proof of that.
But I still think that old man was right not to tell that kid how to kill people.
I don't like, you know what? He was. History has shown him out. I just don't like the fact that he's a behind the back kind of a bee.
Well,
he had to have
enough time to teach it to the other one. He wanted his death legacy to live on.
He taught him how to explode a goddamn log. That's enough. That is more than enough.
Yeah, that punch should kill someone.
That's the Dim Mak. That's Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. He's like, you know, bottom brick, kaboom kind of thing. You don't need no death touch.
I don't know. I think some people might be left alive by one, but no one surviving the other. Also, this also, by the way, reminds me of the ninja episode of Batman the Animated Series, where Batman is fighting a ninja, and this ninja has been practicing a one-touch death move, and Batman finds his hidden lair. And then, like, you know, we don't see it, but like later when Batman fights the ninja one touch moves Batman and it's like right in the sternum with like two fingers. And then like Batman pretends to die, but then he comes back to life and the ninja's like, it's not possible. And then Batman's like, oh, I guess like you don't know what you're doing after all. And then, like, you know, he puts the ninja away, who now thinks this death move is useless. But then we see in a flashback that when Batman found his lair, he found a dummy. He felt for the soft spot and he knew exactly where it was. And he put like a little metal bit over his sternum to protect himself. So now this fucking ninja just is in Arkham Asylum knowing how to one touch death move people. But he thinks it doesn't work anymore. Seems dangerous.
I love that episode, and I remember that bit vividly.
It's a great episode.
Guys, it might turn out that Batman the Animated Series show is kind of good.
Maybe we should be watching that instead of this.
No.
Hey, at that note,
but this
we'll
is
be
seven,
right back after
seven
this.
Seven death moves is better than one.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe.
But now Cobra's got the C-Ray.
C-Ray, it is a fighting machine. I can blast you to smithereens.
Incredible C-Ray splits to become a mini-sub and an armored glider.
Cobra!
And for attacking on snow and ice, there's the Cobra Wolf.
It's the Techno Vipers.
Cobra Wolf is vicious on ice and snow, and hot on the trail of G.I. Joe. And nobody beats G.I. Joe, the real American hero.
Cobra Sea Ray and Cobra Wolf, each sold separately. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Did you just run over Gina?
I was trying to play it and Gina ran over me.
Look, all I'm saying is that Batman started with one touch. Then Kill Bill did five touch. So clearly Warren Ellis was like, what's better than one? Five. What's better than five? Seven.
Seven. I liked it. No, I approve of all of this. This tracks very well in my mind. This is where Duke and Scarlet kill everyone at a Cobra base. Like, there's no messing around here. They are headshotting people and killing them. Duke, like, tackles a guy to the ground and sticks a knife right in his neck. Like, this gets wild for the G.I. Joe.
It doesn't get sex wild, though, which is what we were all waiting for with the Baroness and that red lipstick she's got on.
What was the bit where they get inside the base and then there's, like cuts to their cellular structure and their little weird nanobots are doing a thing and then the alarm goes off.
I understand that either.
I watched that three times because I was sure I just missed something.
Yeah,
but
me too.
There were nanobots as they walked into a hallway. The nanobots got into their clothes and then pinched the string in the clothes and an alarm goes off.
I thought they now had some disease that it mutated their cells.
I feel like it was inside their body because it starts out with like something that looks like some sort of cell structure, and then it goes tinier and tinier and tinier, and then we see the nanobots, and then we see like what look like fibers. Yes, but I think we had already shrunk down to beneath the cellular scale of an organic of a person because the cells were like in a fluid. So unless they have like really, really wet clothes.
Where did they come from? What were they? There was no setup to this whatsoever.
You've seen this, right? You've seen the whole thing?
I've
not watched all of Resolute, no.
I haven't.
I'm watching
it
a piece at a time for the podcast.
But did they get diseases?
I feel like they should explain that later, right?
You haven't watched
it
either,
Chan? Yeah,
I don't
know. I thought you were saying they do explain it later.
No, I'm not.
I thought you were like, don't worry, it's all explained. They were given diseases that, like...
No, I'm saying, that's why I was asking Ray. I was like, well, surely you know, because they wouldn't just put that in the middle of this and then not address it ever again.
No, I mean, here's the deal.
I mean,
maybe.
You guys talk amongst yourself while I look at the Wikipedia plot entry.
Oh, you're just going to fucking blow the whole thing?
Well, no, I'm not going to read ahead. I'm just going to read the section where hopefully it says, like, they walk into a hallway and then nanobots attack their cells and then see if that's what it is.
But how did the nanobots trip the alarm? It was weird. I did like the military tactic of Duke and Scarlet, where one of them, Scarlet, shoots the pipe to put steam in the hallway to kind of mask what they're doing. And then Duke throws a grenade, which is so powerful, it kills every Cobra alley viper. And they're not wearing orange. That kind of made me mad. But kills all the alley vipers in the hallway, like at least like a half dozen of them, but also blows out the floor underneath them so they can pop into the vent system.
It's a good military tactic, and it comes right after the one where they stand in the hallway and dodge every shot without actually moving.
Yeah, those Cobra alley vipers, bad shots. And then they like leave grenades behind. So some of the more of the Cobras who show up also get blown up. You know, lots of fun. Lots of fun, everybody. And this is where they kind of drop into the secret base and they get accosted. They're on catwalks. They get accosted by Zartan, who cares nothing for the infrastructure of this Cobra base because he just blows out the entire catwalk they're on. People need to use that, Zartan. People work here.
The gun he uses looks like some sort of cool laser. It's got like a triple barrel situation on it, but it fires a rocket.
You're goddamn right, Chan.
Where'd the rocket come from?
Because God bless America. That's why, Chan. And I do like that they did take some of the part of Sigma Six where Zartan could just turn invisible. Normally he would need to he would blend in like a chameleon, like against a wall or hide in a shadow. Like that's the Zartan I know. But Zartan here has future tech, just like in Sigma Six, where he can just be standing in a room and all of a sudden be like, zip, zip, I'm out.
Okay. I will say the Wikipedia makes no mention of little things inhabiting their cells, but I accidentally read to the last sentence and I was right about something else.
That Baroness and Destro do have unsimulated sex.
Yep, it's the last sentence of the Wikipedia scientists. Page.
I can't believe it was the third thing I rented was G.I. Joe Resolute after those other two movies. And then I get it here too. I was shocked. I was shocked. Okay, let's talk about Tunnel Rat now. Because he's super competent, super fun. He's got a proper New York accent.
Thanks to Bauza.
Yeah, Eric Bauza, star of The Day the Earth Blew Up, played Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. Phenomenally talented individually.
I'm pretty sure that everybody who's listening thinks that you're saying Bowser, but just in a cool, hip way. Hey, you know what, my friend Bauza.
I wonder if that was probably if that's how kids made fun of him when they were little. Like, Bowser, did you steal the princess?
Man, having my last name, I would have killed for being made fun of to be called Bowser.
You should just change your name to Steaks.
I thought about it for Hollywood, but my grandmother made me promise to never go by a stage name, and I felt obligated to keep up her wishes.
Is that real?
That's 100% true.
Because she told your grandmother's an idiot.
Yeah, well, she told me, she's like, if you end up going to L.A., I want you to keep your name, and I want you to promise me. I go, okay.
She really just knew you would never make it big, and she was like, you'll feel like a real idiot if you fail, and then you change your name.
She wanted you to fail, and it was like, I don't want him to, become big and have cocaine and hookers and forget where he came from. So I'm going to keep him humble and also make sure that he never
works
becomes
again.
A big star.
Really? Yeah. It would have made more sense to change when you were little so you didn't get made fun of. As an adult, no one cares.
You would be shocked as an adult, Gina. How many times I've had to still hear nonsense.
I mean, is this why we haven't made it big like the other podcasts that have been podcasting for a decade?
Probably.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Here. I thought Ray Stax. I thought that worked. Can I be Ray Stax? Stakes implies that I'm a dramatic actor.
Oh my God.
Does that work for you
guys?
Raise
the stakes.
Yeah, no, that's just it, but I'm not that kind of performer.
No, that's like everyone can chant that when you're on stage. Raise the stakes. Yeah. Raise the stakes.
So that should have been my wrestling name. I shouldn't have gone with Almighty Ray. I should have gone with Ray Stakes.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't know that, then...
I don't.
It is
clearly,
very obvious. Understand.
Y'all, where were you 25 years ago, goddammit?
This is like when Dick Blood changed his name to Ricky Steamboat. Like, Jesus Christ, man. You had the ultimate wrestling name already. Why would you do that?
To be fair, he had the ultimate wrestling name twice.
I mean, he did. He did.
I'm not gonna have anything bad to say about the name Ricky Steamboat. That's one of the greatest
feels,
names in wrestling.
I mean, it's like disrespectful to like have a good name and then be like, I want another good name.
Wait, why didn't he
all the good names, man.
Why didn't he change it to Steamboat Ricky? At least that kind of makes sense. Because
he was going to get sued by the Disney Corporation.
Hardcore. He probably did call himself that. Walt just showed up in his bedroom one night, woke up with a cold sweat.
Woke up with a mouse head in his bed.
To be fair, that is not too terrifying, especially if you have cats.
That's true.
It's extra terrifying if you have cats. I'll go ahead and just say it out loud. I love Tunnel Rat's plan here. There's all these low-hanging satellites, and they have to use hot air balloons, and then they shoot harpoons into the satellites and then go take them over at the source. That was cool. I was so happy that Tunnel Rat didn't suck here. No bugs eaten in sight.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not played for a joke here, which I seem to recall both of you saying last time that you wanted more things played for jokes. So make up your minds.
What?
Last time you were like, oh, it's too serious. So serious.
I just wanted it to be more fun, Gina. There's a difference.
Well, fun is eating bugs and rats and stuff.
That is not fun.
Is it?
That is very gross.
Why have we not eaten bugs or rats on this show?
Listen, I've eaten bugs.
I will not be eating bugs.
I'll eat bugs on camera. I don't care. I've eaten bugs tons of times.
All right.
New Patreon perk just unlocked.
When we do the G.I. Joe movie reaction video, I'll make sure to bring a big load of hot sauce and also bugs.
I mean, you got to get the right bugs. When I've eaten bugs, they were fried mealworms. They were crickets.
You did not clarify right bugs. There will be bugs.
No, the kind of bugs that people eat, that like chocolate-covered crickets are good. We are going to have to eat them at some point in our lifespan here. So you better get used to it now. Fried mealworms taste like the little bits of McDonald's French fries that are like that somehow got double fried.
By the time we get to the point where we need to eat bugs, we would consider fried mealworms to be the rarest of it'd be like going to Sugarfish and just splurging on the fatty Toro or whatever. We will wish that we could have fried mealworms.
That's what I'm saying. Get used to it now.
What we're is stepped on cockroaches. So that's what we're going to have to get used to. That's probably what we'll be eating for the video, FYI.
No, I won't eat anything dirty.
They're very clean, honestly.
Jen, wash it after you step on it.
I'll see what I can do. I'll step on it with my bare feet. How's that?
Jesus Christ. Y'all. Anyway, we get up to the goddamn balloons. I am horrified right now. And this plan is working. They get into access panels. They take over one of the satellites. But then one of the dummy Joes uses their grappling hook rope. To hook his carabiner to.
No, that's what's supposed to happen. What happens is the equipment fails.
The equipment fails, but if you notice the scene before, that's the specific rope that somebody hung their thing on and then dropped from.
Yeah, they all ziplined over to the satellite.
Yes, but then one of them hooks their thing onto it and then pulls on it for his own body weight and goes down. Everybody else unhooks from those. One idiot puts strain on it extra, and that's why it breaks.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Zip line, zip line, zip line. Okay, this guy's rappelling down, as he should be doing.
I think Ray's wrong.
No, neither of the lines that they're featuring here that are being stressed have the rappelling equipment on it. They're two without any other weights.
So there are two total. They use them to zip line over, which is very, very cool. At which point they have like the little claw magnet things, right? And then they go ahead and do the thing. They get off of it. And then I'm looking for the exact time code here. I will find it. Yes, there we go. If you go to the time code 30 minutes and 3 seconds, you can clearly see one of them using the right sticking point to pull himself down with his own body weight.
This makes a really good podcasting.
This makes
a
perfect podcast. Yeah. that's why
describing visual things that no one else can see.
Anybody who's watching this could pick this up. Play at home.
Because it's dodgy. Well, here's the thing. You see at the beginning, there are two people with the magnetic whatever things climbing down. Then there's only one guy rappelling down. Then there's only one guy with the magnetic things and two guys with rappelling gear. And we don't see where either of those guys are attached. So I think this is just shitty continuity.
Yes, agreed.
And sort of like
it's
irrelevant.
It's entirely possible, but I made a mental note when I saw him do that. Like you probably shouldn't use that line to pull yourself down, hook onto literally anything else. And then we find out later that's the exact hook that breaks, which then kills two of them, near as I could tell.
You
I couldn't tell
probably,
if they were wearing parachutes. Oh, they are wearing parachutes. All right.
You probably
good.
Shouldn't be making mental notes. I feel like that's only going to get you in trouble.
Mental Cliff's notes.
Thank you. Can I have the mental cliffs notes on this, please? Tunnel Rat ends up saving himself by hanging on. The other two are knocked clean off of it. I believe they do have parachutes, though. But for this, who knows? Maybe they just fall to their death. That's very, very normal. And then we cut back to the Baroness and Destro, who are menacing people. But then Gung-Ho and Roadblock and what is it? Stalker. And who's the fourth one? There's four of them total. And I love
that's
that
Beachhead.
Gung-Ho. Beachhead, thank you. Surprisingly, doesn't do a lot here, but join up with Stalker, who's got a plan. And they do a little distraction with Roadblock and Gung-Ho to blow out the front entrance while the other two pop in a vent so they can catch them by surprise. And then Destro's like, oh, you guys are at the front gate? I wired that with explosives. Boom! We don't know if Gung-Ho and Roadblock survived.
It's true. I mean...
Here's what we do know. The door opens. A bunch of Cobras come out and they're walking towards wherever the explosion is. Roadblock pops up behind them with a machine gun, starts firing, and this is what he's doing while he's murdering all of these
straight
human
murder.
Beings.
Look,
that is
he takes joy
the
in his work.
Laughter. Of a goddamn anime villain. That is not a like, ha ha ha, we're having a fun time here. This is, yes, I take great pleasure in taking another life.
You know,
and I'm going to keep doing it.
You know what?
He loves murder.
I say good for him. Not enough people enjoy their job these days.
That is a good point. You know, in this economy, it's so hard to find something that you're truly passionate about. Mm-hmm. And if you can get down with murder to the point of psychedelic laughter, I say good on you. You found your spot in this cosmos.
I feel like most of the people in the White House currently are doing exactly that.
Well, they're doing it in a bad way. I don't much care for that. But when Roadblock does it, it's fine. I did make a note that, you know, he's enjoying this a little too much.
Look, you want that guy on your side.
You don't want him against you, that's for sure. Not if you can help it. But and then this is where the last scene that we have for this is, we've already talked about it at length. This is the Snake Eyes Storm Shadow fight. And this is where Storm Shadow gets both his forearms sliced vertically and never, no drops of blood whatsoever. Gina's zombie theory is, it's there.
I'm just saying
I'm on board with it.
Listen,
I'm saying I understand
I'm
it.
Just saying.
He also says,
I used to tell you that I blamed you for my uncle's death. I only said that because I hoped it might hurt.
I feel like our boy Storm Shadow's gone to therapy, and he used to say, you know, I blame you. But after some soul searching, after talking it out and, you know, like expressing his feelings in a safe space, he realized that it wasn't so much about blaming Snake Eyes as it was him lashing out.
Fair.
Feeling betrayed by his own family that they weren't able to, you know, come to terms on this whole seven steps thing. That's good. That's growth. I think Storm Shadow, you know, became a more fully realized person.
But didn't he tell him in the moment, like, oh, he needed to die? Like, this isn't a big revelation, right? Like, oh, I used to blame you. But like, didn't he, after his uncle died, wasn't he like, yeah, like, it's good that he's dead. Am I crazy?
I thought that line just doesn't make any sense. Because why would Snake Eyes believe for a second that Storm Shadow would actually blame him? When
right.
It was a Cobra sniper that he saw, he got hit. And what afterwards, after Storm Shadow watches him die and then fights Snake Eyes and like knocks him off a cliff, legitimately, like Snake Eyes is going to be like, oh man, Storm Shadow blames me for that.
Right.
No.
It's a little muddy.
No, that doesn't make any sense. Storm Shadow's a catty bitch is what I'm saying.
It's less muddy and more just shitty. It's just not good.
No, that there were a few. Yeah, to me, I thought ninjas had like, I don't necessarily thought they had a code of honor. They do not. But I thought they were at least a little bit more mentally tough and not like the gossip queens of of Orange County. Like, I'm just saying. Like, what is happening on this show that we have two highly trained, talented, mental training is just as strong as physical training with Hardmaster and Storm Shadow, and they both turned out to be so catty and so ridiculous in this particular regard.
Listen, give Storm Shadow a break. He's a zombie.
Well, if he's if we pull back to him being a zombie, everything I said is wrong.
As a kid, listen,
I'm just saying I read ahead in the Wikipedia.
In high school, I was like, I cannot wait to get out into the real world where I have to deal with this petty bullshit and people being cliquey and like people are going to be fucking adults, right? And then I get out in the real world, I'm like, oh, this is all just high school. Do you think for one goddamn second that in the most secretive ninjutsu schools all around the world, that there aren't catty bitches just like undercutting each other and talking trash about each other behind them? They're fucking ninjas. Their whole thing is deception. Of course they're going to be mean girls about it.
I hope they are.
I like my ninjas to be a little more pure.
Nope.
Do you, Ray? Do you?
I don't like gossipy ninjas. However, that was the name of my ska band when I was in college.
Ray, kill your darlings, sir.
Hold on. I need to know what horn you played, because I know you didn't play guitar.
No, I was the singer.
He played the triangle, Chan. Ooh, come on now.
That's not good.
No, I can't play an instrument.
Ska singers can go bad real easily.
No, and I could only do about 3 songs before my voice blew out, because I would just like scream each one. So by the end of the 5th song, I was dragging.
Ball Z.
Good to know.
I was dragging Ball Z out here, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Figures.
Bow it to bow. The bang it bang ziggy ziggy.
Can we
go from Dragon Ball Z to Kid Rock?
Brain works in mysterious ways, Robert Clark Chan. Or sometimes not at all.
Dragon Ball Z, like, actually seems like a pretty fun ska band name. But then you made it weird by going to
As I he Am does. The
Bull God. I don't know. I'm gonna...
That was not even I Am the Bull God. That is a very different song.
I'm sure it is, but I've never listened to that fucking album, and I never will.
No, I'm going to tell you something right now. Kid Rock, I don't have a lot of respect for him as a human being, but back in the 90s, Devil Without a Cause album slapped. And I'm sorry, people could say what they want to. After the fact, with future knowledge, I will not take away the fact that so much of that album is great.
No. Nope.
One did not need future knowledge if one had taste.
Right. That, yeah. Or could identify scumbags. We Detroiters have
to stick together.
Before other people could.
I will not stand by any of his personal choices, except for the one where he hung out with Guy Fieri on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That is a good choice. If you have a chance to do that, why would you not?
To make it clear that I will not stand beside your personal choices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have it up to this point.
Just want to make it clear in case anyone was confused.
Anyway, that is part 2 of G.I. Joe Resolute. I liked this a lot. As much as I found the first part depressing and just not uninspired, but just it didn't hit with me in most of its ways.
You just don't like violence.
This hit with me.
Because you're a little this hit with a soft me over little baby. And over
again. I'm a soft little baby with a soft little baby head that caves in.
That's why you got to wear that little helmet, man.
That's not what the helmet's for. Having had a child who had to wear a helmet and I had to fucking take it off and clean his head every goddamn night, I can tell you specifically that it's not to protect the fontanelle from, I don't know what you think a baby's normal day is, dodging pickaxes or whatever.
That's what I had to do. That's what a
baby's normal day is when I'm watching them.
Thank you. And also, you said the baby's what, fontanelle? Is it cake? Is that cake frosting?
Is it
that
cake?
That is very soft.
And then someone cuts into the baby and they're like, no!
Oh my God.
I see. You're suggesting that the word fontanelle is close to the word fondant, which is...
Well, those are two different words.
I see.
Do they mean
very
the same thing?
Very droll, Mr. Steaks. Very droll.
You know, they call me Mr. Steaks around the office because I raise them.
I mean, it's much better than Almighty Ray.
Guys, I can't express how depressed I am over this revelation.
If you'd done this,
the notion that I had was correct so long ago, and I never followed it.
No, you didn't even have the Ray one, because you said you were going to change it to Stokes or something, or
Robert Stack.
Robert Stack is a thing. People know who he is. I had considered Ray Stakes, but again, I thought that was too much for a dramatic actor.
But you were planning on being a comedic actor?
I'm hilarious. What do you mean? I'm not good at drama.
Ray, every instinct you've had in your life has been wrong.
With the one exception of knowing is half the podcast.
No, that is not one of the exceptions.
My entire life.
That is not an exception.
That got me here, sending blind Facebook friend requests to showrunners in the hopes that they will accept it, and I can immediately bombard them with testimonials about TV's Gina Ippolito.
Man, I wish I had the power to stop these recordings now, like I used to.
I don't think we should do any or say any more on this episode.
Shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
I was like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.